This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
Talofa, you're listening in to Tataranoa. Let's talk. Tataranoa is a show where we get to have good conversations, and it's a good way for us to connect with our community and people around us, and we can learn so much more from each other through conversations. Ia e fatalofa mfafeloa iatu, iatu to umalava, ia o le tatu to e fatasi fo i le tatu pokalame o le tatala noa, ia talo si olo maupele so i fumanuia, iatu o to umalava, ia e mese fo i le nei au auna, ia ua tatu fatasi fo i le tatu pokalame nei, ia olvaenga lua le nei o le tatu pokalame o le tatala noa, ia o tatu noanga lea ma le maitai nei o Didi de Graaf. Ia ole au tū lava o tato pokalame pe ona whamanatu atu pia lava o le whataua lava o tato taratanoanga. Ia wae o taratanoanga lava i mawa mai e fo'i ni manatu fo'u, ia mani awa onga fo'i lea e whao ngā e tātou lava i le i aso umoro tato o langa wa e ai lava ia tangata fo'i lea tato te taratanoai o lo awea i lato ma awhiwhi au. Ia e awatu ni whi au tāua ia tato te awa o ai day two, Malay two. Yeah, I will continue on with our conversation in English to make it go smoothly. So carry on, and let me briefly ask Didi to introduce herself to our audience.
Hi. I'm Didi de Graaf. I'm originally from Auckland, New Zealand. I was born and raised there, and I'm Samoan on my mother's side, and my father's family live here in Taranaki. So thank you for having me on here today. I'm very happy to be here.
No, thank you for having the time to come in and be on the show. I'm very happy and proud that, especially hearing our conversation from the previous show of how well you've done to date, and I am listening to that story. It wasn't easy, but now that you're on the other side, you must be so proud of yourself, and your parents must be so proud as well to see their child come through and successfully finish the course, and as well as placing in the same industry.
Thank you.
Yep. So you mentioned that you had some mentors in that industry space.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to ask the question, how important is it to network with people in your industry?
Yeah, I would say for every industry, obviously, networking and relationships is important, but in film and TV, it's really very important. A lot of the older generation of people didn't get a film degree. They got in through friends or knowing people, and you really understand that once you meet people of older, of the older generation in film. Mm-hmm. So much of it is networking is the fancy word, but really it's friendships and relationships. And I would say networking for me, when I look back, every instance that I've networked with the right people or found a mentor, it was really me just being myself and attracting the right person through that. Because that's what you want. You really just need to make friends with the right people, with the natural people.
Yeah, that's so true. Yep. And there were times that you, when in our conversation outside of the show, that you have projects, and how long are the projects that you work on?
Yeah, so essentially being a script coordinator is like being a freelancer. Mm-hmm. It's a contract work. So it takes about, if it's 6 episodes for a show, like the show I'm on at the moment, it's probably around 4 to 5 months it takes to get filmed. And that's for 6 60-minute episodes. Mm-hmm. For a much longer-running show, it'd take much longer. And again, for a shorter show, more contained show, it would be shorter. But it's a couple of months each contract. It's my job.
Mm. So, and if you finish that project, do you have something else ready to go, or is there a space where you have to wait for work, or you have to look for work?
Yes. Yeah. So usually at the end, when my contract is my hours are teetering out, I'll then start contacting the people that I know. So it's taken a while for me to meet people. So I have a group of line producers or producers that I send out, and I say, hey, I'm going to be free from these dates, and I just put it out there. That's a really scary part, I think, of any freelancer in any industry, is understanding the ball's in everybody else's court.
Yes.
But once you meet enough people, you just have to trust and save enough money to know that I will get work will come again, but there might be a couple of weeks in between.
Mm.
But yeah, that's the trajectory. That's what it looks like throughout the year.
Mm. Well, it sounds like you're a driver, like you really drive yourself in order to get placement for the other, the next job and the next job.
Mm.
And I suppose, especially when you said that, it's inconsistent in terms of the income.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's very hard. I think personality-wise, I'm not as outward, as extroverted as other people, which makes it that task of outreach, which can feel like pestering people, harassing people. It makes it harder if you're shy, but you kind of have to just get used to it and understand. I have to reframe it in my head. I'm offering them something that they need.
Yes.
I'm helping them. I'm not pestering anyone. I'm not, bothering anyone. I'm actually doing a favor, and they go, great. Yes, I do need, I actually do need a script coordinator. Oh, thanks for email.
Yeah.
Having to reframe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, yes, that's very important, as you said. And so if you're if you finish a project and there's a space there, what do you do in your free time?
In my downtime? I live with my partner and my dog in Roselle, Sydney. So a lot of it is downtime with I try to enjoy, not to stress too much, but try to enjoy the time that I have with my partner and my dog, and go for long walks, read a lot, watch things. That's me. That's usually what I do.
And that is very important. I mean, it's not just in your industry, in every industry, the importance of that downtime.
Yes.
And looking after yourself.
Yes.
Because the stress level of people can get high at times, but it's finding what that thing is, your thing, that will help you ease into, relaxation mode.
Yes.
So have you come across any celebrities in some of the projects that you've been involved in?
Yes. I never get to really meet the actors very much on the TV shows, but I've met a lot of directors that are famous. I've met Jane Campion, and she's a very lovely, generous woman.
What were some of her films?
The Piano.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And her most recent is Power of the Dog. Mm. I met Jane, I think, in 2019, and that was just in passing.
Yep.
I've met Tim Minchin, the comedian, in a writer's room. So I've met a lot of kind of writers and directors that have famous bodies of work that I really respect.
Mm.
So that's been really awesome.
Yeah, well, just rubbing shoulders with those people. And I think it's also nice just to come up to those people and just, even just like a slight introduction of yourself. You never know how the conversation could strike a chord between you and that person.
Yeah, I think so. I think also realizing the more people I meet that have films or TV shows that I really, I go, oh, I've watched that. Oh, this yeah. that's the writer of that. I love that show. Is it's a really selfish reassuring to meet those people and just go, oh, they're just people. You know, they're just, you exactly. know, no one's on a pedestal. They just did this, and this, and they're just a normal person. Mm. Yeah, and just being yourself in those instances. Yeah.
Mm. Very interesting. I must look up the movie by that film producer.
Yeah, that was very hard because that's one of my favorite films. Yeah. So I just had to pretend. Oh, yeah. Oh, hi, Jane.
Yeah.
Oh, Jane, is that your name? Oh. No. Yeah. I think I've heard of you.
Yeah. Oh, well done, well done. Everything is progress. You know, we progressively meet people, and then it opens our eyes, and it opens how we communicate. At the same time, you know, those short meetings, we you know, as you have nicely explained, you've come to. Have different conversation
yeah.
with people, and those people are probably got your name in their head thinking, oh yep I must think of so and so, think of you mm. in some future projects mm. and that's how it all starts, is conversations.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully that's how it happens. Yeah.
So we'll break for a song and then we'll continue on our conversation. Thank you. Welcome back, and this is the continuation of the conversation with Didi de Graaf. And again, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
And be our guest today. So I wanted to ask another question because I feel this is quite an important question that I think I should ask. How has your Pacific Island cultural background influenced your approach to script coordination, and how do you integrate elements of your culture in your work?
So I've thought about this before. I think one of the issues that I had when I came away from film school was a lot of the time young people are taught to kind of to sell themselves or be kind of a self-entrepreneur in the film industry. So a lot of that is asserting yourself, words like networking, even if it's not with the right people. And at first I really struggled with that idea because I felt it didn't really fit my personality. It didn't really fit the way I was raised. But I've realized probably the way that I was raised or my perspective has actually helped me in situations or roles like script coordinating, which a lot of it is, relationship-based communication. But also through other film work I do, where I realize, especially as a young person, older, more experienced people can really switch off if you try to assert yourself too much and, talk at them and say, I can do this, and this, because that's kind of, everyone.
That's so true.
But I think Pacific Islanders specifically, you don't just have to be a Pacific Islander to think this way, but specifically the way that we're raised is you have to respect your elders.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a real respect for experience before your own. You recognize it instead of putting yourself and not listening to the older people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now that I look back, that has helped me in every situation. And I've even had older writers comment on it and say, "Oh, for a young person, you're very, you really listen, and you don't. We have to ask you what you want to do, what you're good at." And I think that is a real key thing about Islanders and how they're raised.
Yeah.
They respect age and experience.
That is so important. And I'm sure if your parents hear that, they would be so proud to actually hear that being said by their child.
Hopefully they agree with it. But I mean in general. In general. Yeah, recognizing someone, what someone's done.
So in what ways do you see TV and film industry evolve to better represent diverse voices? Including the Pacific Island community.
Yeah, so I think we're heading in a really good direction in New Zealand and in Australia. I don't work in New Zealand, but New Zealand's kind of ahead of the game in terms of Australia when it comes to diversity and inclusion. If you look at New Zealand and you look at all of our, famous films, all the ones that have done well, they've all been Māori and Pacific Islander films.
Yeah.
So we've been doing that for quite a while here, kind of naturally. In Australia, there's many more kind of diversity incentives that are happening through film and happening through funding bodies, which are really great. Bobby Romier, who I mentioned before, he's really fronting the helm of that at Screen Australia, and he's coming up with different funding incentives specifically for Pacific Islanders, so trying to get Western Sydney Islanders into the getting funding and getting their stuff made, which will eventually mean more Pacific Islanders on screen in Australia, because we've got more of that. TVNZ and the New Zealand Film Commission are really good at that here, but Australia specifically for Pacific Islanders, they've got a bit to go.
You mentioned there's fundings available, and I think it's so important that people are made aware of those fundings, because there are people that possibly would love to do things, but finance is always a restriction to what they can do.
Yes.
But just being aware that there are fundings available, But like you said, there's also finding the right people that know of those funds.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, in Australia and New Zealand, we're really lucky. It's not like America and these other places. We have government funding for our film and TV industries. So there are people out there that want to tell your, help you tell your stories. Mm-hmm. If you write stories at all, if you like making stuff with your friends, if you you don't need to be super experienced either. There's lots of different types of funding incentives for specifically for Pacific Islanders and Māori. Mm-hmm. Go look at the New Zealand Film Commission website and TVNZ website. They always have different incentives going on. And they've got quite a lot of good shows that have come out of that, small contained shows in the past few years. So yeah, definitely encourage people to not think that you're not experienced enough or, you know, don't know enough about it, to look into it if you're interested.
Yeah, seek the right people. Mm. Seek the right people. So the other question I was going to ask, what advice would you give to young girls from Pacific Island backgrounds who aspire to pursue a career in your field or in the broader entertainment industry?
Yeah, I would encourage them to do it, because I think a real misconception about film and TV is that there's not enough jobs. But really, it takes so many people just to make a few minutes of what you see on TV. There's lots of different roles and there's lots of different ways to get in. Mm. And depending on whether your family or not approve of it, or maybe you're doing something else in uni, you can always look online, look outside for different, you know, student films to get involved with. That's what I did. Yep. While I was at uni, I was looking at, you know, film festivals. I was looking at, different universities. They always have their film cohort will always do student films. So you can get on that way, meet people, really socialize in the groups of people who are looking to get into it too, which is kind of the most important thing. Just go out there and get involved.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I would say, is put yourself out there. Mm.
Yes. You know, if our young listeners are listening in, there you go. You know, that was good advice. You know, put yourself out there. Mm. And you know, we do have very smart people.
Yes.
And some with untapped potential.
Yeah, and very creative people as well.
Yeah. And I was going to ask as well, to follow up on that question. Now, what would be your advice to parents with their children that are thinking of different career paths?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's I understand, one, I don't have children, and two, my parents were, a lot of the time speaking to people from lots of different cultures, the exception. They were very, very supportive of me going into the arts. But I would say in general, across the board, try not to apply your own disappointments and your own, you know, your own likes and dislikes onto your child before they've figured out what they're interested in or what they want to do, because your child's not you. Mm-hmm. And what I think is most important is that your child has the space to be the best at what they're good at, because that's what they're going to be the best at, is what they're strong in. Mm-hmm. You can force them into a degree that you want them to do, and they're only going to end up not being very good in that field. So it's hard, but it's stepping back and removing yourself and understanding your child's not an extension of, you know, your personality. Yeah. You should just want them to thrive in what they're good at, because that's when they're going to thrive, I think.
Yeah. Mm, point taken. I love that advice, because, you know, I do reiterate to myself at times that, you know, and being a parent as well, that I've got to step aside and just, you know, ask the questions, that what would you want to do? Have you got some options?
Mm.
Even if you just have one or two options, at least there's something there, and you just be on the side guiding them.
Yeah. And everyone's timeline is different. sometimes they might need to go and work first to figure out what immediately flags to them what they like.
Yeah.
So everybody's timeline is different, I think. Yeah.
Timeline is important, but you have to have that timeline set because you don't want to be, you know, living and procrastinating and thinking, oh yeah, that you know, the time is right when such and such is time. But it's important to attach a timeline to something that you want to work towards or goal. I'm sure you've done that.
Yeah, for sure. I think so. I think a lot of young people that I speak to, you know, my younger cousins and stuff, they can be so stressed and so stressed and under pressure of, I don't know what I want to do yet. And I think you can really get at any age paralyzed from not being able to make a decision if you feel a bit of shame or embarrassment. Oh, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And that never motivates anyone to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's I think positive reinforcement and messaging for yourself as well is just focus on what am I good at, what do I like, what am I interested in. I'll get there. You know, that's what will
Can you repeat those three last things? What am I like? What am I good for? What's the third one?
Really
good.
What do I like? What am I good at? Those can be two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And reinforcing to yourself, I'll get there.
Mm.
I will get there.
Yeah, that's really strong and powerful message from yourself.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep. Now we are heading into the end of our conversation. And firstly, I would like to say thank you to Dili today for coming on our show. This is a 30-minute show, and we want to wish you the best as you continue on with your life in Sydney.
Thank you.
You know, it's good that you've taken the time to come and relax here in New Plymouth.
Yeah.
With your parents.
See my family.
Yeah. But yes, so thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the end of our show. Tune in on Access Radio Taranaki, Tasi Ofa, 104.4 FM. Thank you for listening. I'm Stiani Richardson. Tofa Soifua, Faftai Tele. Faftai, and thank you for listening in to today's episode. If you would like to be part of this show, please contact me by email, cnerichardson@gmail.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.